Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that he hears us when we pray tonight, that he knows what we have need of, that he's a God who's not far off from our needs. He's not removed from our situations, but he is a God that is ever present, even in our times of trouble. Amen. And I'm glad tonight that we can trust him in the assurance that if we will seek him, he will be found of us. Amen. If we will call him, he not only hears us, but he will answer us in his time and in his way. Amen. Good to feel the presence of the Lord here tonight. So thankful for the goodness of God. If you would, turn with me tonight to the book of Mark, chapter number 7. Mark chapter 7, back to the, we was in Mark chapter 6 last night, and so we're just going to go one chapter 4 tonight. I do desire your prayers. This is a very different, I guess, experience for me in the way of preaching. I usually am pretty detailed, or I try to be pretty detailed in my notes. Last night's message was a shorter notes-wise for me, and it was 900 words in my notes last night. I usually average around 1,400 words a message in my notes, and all I have tonight is this. So we're going to be, amen, we're all going to be riding this train together, amen. At the same time, we got out of the service last night and thought I had something, maybe a direction for tonight, and got back to the room and begin to just ask the Lord what he'd have for me to say. And a scripture came to my mind last night. I had no thoughts coming into this revival that I would relay from this story or this scripture. But I all night last night, this scripture was there. I got up this morning again to pray. And again, this one scripture just sat in my heart, and just all throughout the day, I told the pastor at lunch, and appreciating the meal that was provided today, the wonderful time of fellowship, I said, well, I don't really know altogether what I'm going to say, but I feel a burden, amen. And I feel like God wants to help us tonight, maybe a little different. And I feel like a little bit last night, maybe we opened the door to some things that God may want to talk to us about again tonight in the preaching of last night's message. But I want to do my best to relay what God has. And I'm asking, I'm going to be transparent with you tonight. I've come to this pulpit believing God to work a miracle in this place. Amen. I've come to this pulpit tonight believing, you say a miracle is in a healing, if that's how he chooses to move. But I'm just asking God to do something, amen, in this place tonight. Stand with us if you would for the reading of the word of God. Thank you again for everything that's been done. I do appreciate the goodness of the Lord, and I appreciate the goodness of God's people, and I'm thankful to be here, just excited for what God's going to do, amen. Mark chapter number 7, we're going to read verse 31 down through verse number 37, and then we're going to go from there and just see what the Lord will do for us tonight. Amen. Mark chapter 7, verse number 31, the Bible said, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment of his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto them, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal they published it. Notice verse 37. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. Hallelujah. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. That statement again. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. There's not one thing he doesn't do the right way. Hallelujah. If the Lord will help me tonight, there's some things I feel from this story that I would like to relay. But I would like to come, if I had a title tonight, out of that statement. He hath done all things well. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to anoint and help us tonight. Lord, we love you. God, I magnify you. Lord, you see, as I have wrestled around today in prayer, asking you to help us, Lord, asking you to lay on my heart as it needed to be. Oh, God, I'm asking, Holy Ghost of God, may the mighty Spirit of God rest down on us. May the mighty presence and power of the Holy Ghost fill this place tonight. Oh, God, I'm asking, give me boldness where boldness is needed. Give me wisdom where wisdom is required. Give me unction throughout it all, oh, God. I'm asking that you would move and minister tonight. God, more than the preaching, more than the preacher, fill this house with your glory. Meet us in these altars tonight, oh, God. Let there be nothing in me that would hinder, but in every way, let your will be done, God, in this house tonight, and we'll give you the glory and the honor and praise for it all. Hallelujah. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Hallelujah. If you feel, praise the Lord. He does all things well. There is something tonight about Jesus that when he shows his glory has always brought astonishment to men and women. In the book of Matthew, as Jesus finishes his Sermon on the Mount, the Bible said that they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. Amen. When Jesus stood and he calmed the storm, in the first storm that I mentioned last night, the Bible said that they marveled among themselves and said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea, hallelujah, obey him? In the book of John, when they came to arrest him and they came to bring him captive due to his preaching, the Bible said that the officers of the Pharisees came back and the Pharisees said, why have you not brought him to us? And they simply said, never man spake like this man. There was an astonishment at who Jesus is. Amen. In our text tonight, we yet again see this astonishment when it said, beyond measure, they were astonished. Amen. And their statement tonight is, he hath done all things well. Amen. Now, I don't know how long I'll be tonight, but I would like to remind us on this Wednesday night of revival that there is not anything that Jesus does that he does not do the right way. Hallelujah. There is not, you don't have to sign a contract. You don't have to get a lawyer involved. You don't have to worry about some kind of clause or deal. You don't have to worry about calling him back to the scene because he left something in a way of disrepair. But when Jesus does the job, Jesus does the job right. Hallelujah. When Jesus moves, he does what we need to do. Amen. Oh, I've not come tonight to ask him to do a certain thing because I don't know what certain things you may have need of. But I do know this. If he would visit this place on this Wednesday night, if he would stop by this house for just a little while, he can do everything that needs to be done. Hallelujah. You may need encouragement in your soul. You may need healing in your body. You may need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You may need a situation figured out. You may have questions to which you have no answers. But if he is here, he can do all things. And he doesn't do them halfway. He doesn't do them okay enough. When the Bible talks about freedom, and when it talks about being free in Christ, it does not say free and free enough. It says free and free indeed. When it talks about life in Him, it does not just say life and move on, but it says life and life more abundantly. He does all things. Hallelujah. He does all things well. Amen. And I don't know what you've come in need of tonight. And I don't know what circumstances you may find yourself in. But can I tell you, if He would step down into the midst of where we're at, if He would step down into the midst of what looks impossible in our situation, He can do a work that only He can do. He can make a way when no one else can make a way. He can turn it around when nothing else can turn it around. I've come to tell you tonight, we don't serve a second-rate God. We don't serve a God of just memory. We don't serve a God that could only do it yesterday, but He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He still does all things tonight just as good as He used to do. Amen. He does all things well. We look tonight at this story. We look at the story of our text, and we find a very interesting one. There is a man brought to Jesus. We do not know his age. We do not know his name. We do not know his family history. All we know is that he comes to Jesus at a time of need. He comes and they bring him that was deaf and had an impediment of speech. Now we understand what it means to be deaf. He couldn't hear. We understand the idea of impediment of speech, but it goes differently than just he couldn't say his words correctly all the way. That's not what it's talking about. The word impediment there means hardly talking or dumb of speech, or also it means tongue-tied. Something had bound up his ability to speak. And I wrestled around all afternoon with these scriptures. And I said, Lord, I just can't bring in one verse and read, he does all things well and call us to pray. I mean, if that's what God wanted me to do, I'd have done it. Amen. But as far as in a preparation end, I was trying to figure out what in the world am I going to bring into this? And what in the world am I going to say in the Lord this afternoon? Begin to burden my heart. And I pray you'll bear with me tonight and take this in the spirit in which I'm going to try to deliver it. Amen. But something had come into his life that had stolen away part of his liberty. He was not free to do his own thing. He could not hear and he could not speak. In the end of the chapter, they call him dumb. He is unable to speak. And the more I wrestled with that today, I knew the verse about doing all things well. But then it's like all day, Brother Shane, that idea of being deaf and being dumb, being unable to hear and unable to speak just kept rolling over and over in my mind. I began to ask the Lord tonight as I got ready for church, and I was beginning to try to, you know, by that point you're growing a little panic and, you know, what in the world am I going to say and what in the world am I going to relay? Amen. I begin to ask the Lord, and the Lord begin to lay the burden upon my heart. Amen. Because I believe tonight, as I stand before you on this Wednesday night, I believe that hell is trying in some of your lives. I believe that hell is trying in this church to spiritually leave us where this man was physically. He's trying to stop up our ears and hinder our ability to speak. Oh, help me tonight, Holy Ghost. Amen. You'll have to blame the blanks on these pages. Amen. For all that I say tonight. Hallelujah. Because there isn't a whole lot of in between there. But I feel the burden of the Lord. Hell is trying in these last days to bring our lives to a place where there is no hearing. There is no ability to speak. There is no ability to get in like we used to get in. Hallelujah. Oh, dear God, can I say it this way? If we are not careful in our lives and in our churches, the devil is trying to place us in a spiritual chokehold, as it were. The devil is trying to find a foothold within the house of God where he can hinder our ability to hear. I'm not talking about in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, he's trying to stop up our ears. He's trying to keep us from listening to the voice of God. He's trying to keep us from hearing what thus saith the Lord. And the devil doesn't want us praying. The devil doesn't want us singing in worship. The devil doesn't want us lifting up our voice unto God. If he can leave us in a place where spiritually we are deaf and dumb, he can take away the freedom of the people of God. He cannot hear. And he cannot speak. And I would like to preach this tonight for a moment, if I could, in two ways. Number one, on a personal level, the devil doesn't want me and you tonight hearing the voice of God. He does not want us to be able to go to our prayer closets and to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." If he could stop up our spiritual ears, then we have to leave. If Abraham doesn't hear the voice of God, Abraham cannot be led by God. My Lord. If Peter does not hear him say, "Come," there is no leaving the boat where he is at. If the devil, Brother Wesley, can stop up the ears of the people of God, if he can get us to a place where we are so drowned out by the cares of life, we are drowned out by the voice of our situation, we are drowned out by the voice of our flesh, that it just stops up our spiritual ear from being able to hear the voice of God, then we will go months and years at a time and we're never in tune with the Spirit, never in tune with the will of God, never in tune with God's direction for our lives. Amen. I still believe tonight that we are to be actively seeking after God's will in our lives. Lord, what do you want me to do? Would you speak to me and tell me where you want me to go? What situation, my God, help me tonight? And if the devil can get a bunch of deaf Christians and a bunch of people that cannot hear the voice of God, then we'll live our own way. We'll walk our own path. We'll make our own decisions and miss the will of God. Secondly, if he can tie up our spiritual tongues, if he can keep us from voicing our prayer to the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Wesley, if he can hinder us in our ability to praise, if Paul and Silas lose their spiritual ability to speak, what do they do sitting in jail? If they lose their spiritual ability to speak. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about the natural ability tonight. If the devil steals our prayer lives, if the devil can steal our worship, if the devil can steal us raising our voices unto God in our spirits, hallelujah, then the devil steals a tool and a weapon that the people of God have long time had, hallelujah. If he can steal our prayer and if he can steal our praise, then the prison never comes open. If he can steal our prayer and he can steal our praise, then the miracle miracles that God has offered unto us very rarely come true. What the devil is trying to do is take away the liberty and the victory and the overcoming power of the people of God. Because do you know how we overcome? We overcome in prayer. We overcome in worship. We overcome, my God, by being in His presence. But if He takes it all away, it steals from us. It steals from us. My God, and some of you in here tonight, as you are serving the Lord, have found yourself in a place where situations and circumstances have tried to steal your ability to hear His voice and hinder your ability to talk to Him like you used to talk to Him. Can I flip sides for a moment and preach about the church as a whole? For while the devil would love to do this to us individually, the devil would love to do this as a body. And I kept asking the Lord today, what does it mean? What does it mean? What is this? What are you trying to relay to me for me to be able to relate to them? And I feel for this church tonight. I feel for this church. I feel like the door opened into it last night. I feel like there's been some opposition that's come against the plan of God. Some wind of opposing factors that have tried to come against the people of God. And as I was getting ready for church tonight, I felt God begin to deal with me that what the devil is trying to do in this church, I can't speak for the church down the road. I can't speak for the church I preached at last or preach in next. But for this church right here tonight, I feel what the devil has tried to do, whether it be through the spiritual realm of darkness, whether it be through storms and situations, whether it be through the power of the flesh and those that will be used thereby. I believe what the devil has tried to do is create a hindrance to the forward motion that God has set in place in this church. And what He would love to do, Brother Shane, is to take this body of believers and stop up their ears from hearing the truth. Amen. Stop up their ears from hearing what thus, well, that's just Brother Shane, or that's just one of the other ministers. That's just what we've heard all our life. If it is the Word of God, then it's not just a man. If it is the Word of God, then it is not just an idea, but it is the very truth on which we build our lives. I've come to tell somebody tonight, it's time for us to open our ears again. It's time for open, my God, hallelujah. It's time for us to open our spiritual ears and hear what thus saith the Lord. If He closes our ears as a church, we become resistant to the ministry in the house of God. If He closes our ears to the truth, that was good. And I'm glad Brother Shane was excited. But that's all it was. Well, that was good. We did our duty and our tradition. We came to church. But it never gets in our hearts. Ah, Lord, help me tonight. The devil doesn't have to get you to change the way you dress. He doesn't have to get you to change how you live, per se. He doesn't have to put you on a bar stool to keep that word from ever getting in your heart. He just has to cause you to go spiritually deaf. I don't have to go become a drug addict. I don't have to party and live a life full of sin. All I have to do is become deaf. Hallelujah. Help me tonight, Holy Ghost. And I believe, again, as I said on the opening night, me and Brother Shane have not talked anything about this church. I found out more about the history of this church at lunch on Tuesday than I did about from Brother Shane. Amen. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's come against this body of believers. But I have carried a burden since before I ever got to Virginia to preach this revival. I didn't know how I was going to preach it, but I told my dad a couple weeks ago, I feel like at least one night in that revival, God's going to allow me to preach about some things that are coming against the people of God. And I feel like the devil has arisen in his ugly head within this body of believers and trying to hinder the future of what God is going to do. He's tried to raise his ugly head and tried to somehow hinder the work of the Holy Ghost. I've come to tell us tonight that this house does not belong to him. He has no right, he has no place, and he has no memorial. He has no right, he has no place, and he has no memorial. Devil, you can try all that you want to, but I'm not going to close my ears to the truth. Hallelujah. I'm not going to close my ears to the message of the Word of God. Are you saying we won't hear what the preacher says? I'm not saying that at all. But spiritually deaf starts tuning out the truth. Well, I don't like that, so I'll just this. I don't think it has to be that way, so I'll just... We are becoming spiritually deaf if we begin to tune out the voice of truth. Hallelujah. And secondly, the speech. Brother Shane, I have wrestled. What does it mean? There's a few things I could say tonight, but right as I was getting ready to leave my hotel room, I felt the Holy Ghost deal with me that the enemy has come against this house and has tried to hinder the ministry in this church. I do not know the circumstances. I do not know the situations. I do not know the setting. But somewhere behind the scenes, the devil has tried to hinder the voice of ministry. Oh, help me tonight, Holy Ghost. Somewhere, that spiritual chokehold has tried to grab a hold of the ministry right here in this church. In the Bible, we are told of men of God. And there was rare times that the prophets of old or the disciples of the New Testament went without an opposition. But there are a few times when people rose up, or the spirit of hell rose up against the ministry, and not in an attempt to persuade of a different way, but in an attempt to completely silence what was. We find that in the story of Elijah when he has Jezebel. We find that in the story of John the Baptist when Herod's wife says, let's just cut off his head. We find that story in Paul and Silas when they say, we don't like what you're doing, so we're just going to imprison you and jail you and get rid of any mention of this Jesus. Amen. And I don't know why tonight, again, I'm not going to be low, but I've come to tell this church there's some things that are fighting against the people of God. This turbulence you've been feeling has more to do with who's in the pews and who's not in the pews. This turbulence has more to do with just what I want my way and you want your way. But there is a spirit of hell that's come after this church. I said, my God, I've wrestled with it all day. I fought it all last night. I rode around in that bed until I was tired of rolling around. I have fought against this thing, and sometime in the middle of the night, the Holy Ghost started showing me a cloud that's tried to slide over top of this place. A cloud that's tried to hinder the ministry, tried to hinder the response to the word. But I've come to tell somebody tonight, I feel like this revival is more than just a young man from Georgia standing up here and sweating for 5 nights. But I feel like the Holy Ghost has ordained this revival because God has come to begin to open some things. He's begun to open some ears that have been closed. He's come to try to loosen that which has been bound. And I've come tonight, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, to tell the devil, you can't have this church. You can't have the ministry of this church. You can't have the men and women of this church. We belong to God and no one else. Hallelujah. My Lord, help me tonight. Oh, help me tonight, Holy Ghost. I could see it in prayer today. A dark cloud that's tried to damper. That's tried, again, I have no clue what it may be that fights this church. But there's something. Something that's come against the people of God. Something, and can I tell somebody tonight that the will of man has not led us to this place, but God has ordained this moment of time for us to decide, are we in His will or against His will? My God, help me tonight. Oh, Holy Ghost, I pray. Jesus did not pat him on the shoulder and say, poor guy. Jesus did not say, that's cool, go home and maybe you'll find. But the Bible said that he pulled him out of the crowd. I believe tonight, out of all of this revival, God's pulled this one service out. Because I believe he's about to speak some freedom to places that have tried to be bound. My God, help me tonight. I do not know the warfare that has gone on behind the scenes or the burden that has been carried. But can I, under the unction of God's Spirit and leadership of His Spirit in prayer today, tell somebody, if you are fighting against the will of God, it is a fight you will not win. My God, help me tonight. Oh, Holy Ghost, I need you to help me. If it is God, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. But if it is God that builds it, they that try to tear it down labor in vain. I feel the unction of His Spirit tonight to tell this church, God is trying to build it. God has led it to this place. And it is not our job, because of our differences or our opinions, to build or try to tear down what God has built. I told my dad today on the phone things that I was feeling, and this was his statement. In the years you have preached, I don't know if you have ever preached anything like this. I promise you, I have not. I do not know why the weeks leading up to this revival, God dealt with my heart in a prayer closet to pray that God would put His finger on the needs of this church, but He did. I do not know why all I have is a couple thoughts scribbled on a piece of paper, but that's the way God intended it. But can I tell you tonight that God is wanting to move this church forward? He is wanting to move this church into new seasons of revelation and new seasons of glory. And God will not stand by and allow for the cloud to hover over His people. God will not stand by and allow the ministry to try to be put in chokehold and to try to be in silence. But God will fight for what belongs to Him. I said God will go to war for what belongs to Him. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My God, I said I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you are trying to fight against the will of God, it's time to get in line with it, because the gates of hell will not prevail. I've come to tell the devil tonight, the dark cloud may have came, but the dark cloud's not going to stay. Because there is a God in heaven tonight that's going to go to war for His church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, saints, help me pray tonight. I feel something in this house. The devil has tried his best to bring a deaf ear and a dumb spirit into our walk with God. But I hear the voice of the Savior when He said, be opened, be opened, be opened again. Let there be freedom again. Oh, God. Oh, God, help me tonight. That thing that has tried to hover this church, can I just obey the Lord tonight? We're this far into it. I believe with all of my heart, Brother Nick, that what the devil would love to do is to keep this place from ever experiencing an outpouring of Pentecost in these last days. Well, we would get in, but we can't stretch out too much. I would, but stepping out really is not my thing. I would worship, but it's easier to stay just more to myself. And the hush has tried to sit down on the people of God. But I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight has not come just to make us run or shout, but He's come to rip back the fingers of the chokehold that's tried to be applied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, we my God, we need You. Oh, Holy Ghost of God. Oh, hallelujah. There are some in this house tonight that have pressed, that have pushed, that have got behind the vision and the burden. But it seems like you hit this ceiling. We get so far, and then it seems like we just fade back down again. The devil's tried to box in the will of God, the vision of God in this church. But all of a sudden, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, be opened. And straightway His ears were opened, and the string of His tongue was loosed. Can I put it this way? And straightway the yoke was broken. Hallelujah. And straightway the chokehold was gone. Amen. Amen. And straightway gateway, and all they could do was sit back, Brother Tom, and in amazement say, He hath done all things well. He hath done all things. I would to God tonight that Abundant Life Tabernacle would go home on a Wednesday night and say, I don't know what changed, but something happened. I don't know what's different, but something gave way. I don't know what turned, but I felt it when it broke. I felt it when it opened. I felt it when it loosened. I felt my God, hallelujah. I come to tell somebody tonight, it's the time for to say, God, break the yoke, break the chain, break the thing that's binding, break the heavy cloud that's been over top of us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Break that, Lord, which tried to hinder this congregation. Break what's tried to hover over this pulpit. Break, Lord, what's tried to hinder the people of God. Hallelujah. Devil, this church does not belong to you. This church is not of your possession. This church was not bought in your blood. This church is not filled with your spirit. But this church belongs to God. This church was built on Christ. This church is filled with the Spirit. This church is led by the Word. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every darkness, oh God, that every spirit of hell that's tried to rage war against this house would be broken. I pray in the name of Jesus that every yoke that's tried to bind the outpouring of the Holy Ghost would be removed. I pray let every heavy yoke be destroyed and every heavy burden be cast down in the name of Jesus. Let there be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, church. He's here tonight. Come on. I've had enough. I've had enough of this spiritual yoke. Come on, we've had enough. No more, devil. No more. No more. No more division. No more fighting. No more.